Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture. He's Andy Murray from What Culture. We are here in Philadelphia for WrestleMania, which means we just got to watch. It was not on the screen now, but we just got to watch AEW Dynamite live, and we are here to tell you what.
How
went
did you
down.
Watch AEW Dynamite on a fish tank, Adam?
Yes, well, peculiar. It's a mystery. But we're here to tell you what went down, especially with regards to their response to CM Punk, because the show opened, Andy, with Adam Copeland coming out. Saying, screw negativity. It's a great time to be a pro wrestling fan. He put over the AEW roster and all the first time matches he could have whilst he's there. He says that this is the most fun he's ever had in his career. AEW makes pro wrestling better, he says, and it's where the best wrestle. What possibly could have driven him to say this to start tonight's show?
Yeah, I do wonder. It certainly wasn't The Rock and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, was it? Yeah, this was quite transparently our shot back at the CM Punk interview with Ariel Helwani, of course, which we covered quite extensively on the channel earlier in the week, if you want to know our thoughts on that. This was a PR promo delivered extremely well because he's a good talker, to say, hey, look, AEW kind of rules, and like I really love it here, and it's given loads of people jobs, and we're not focused on the negative BS, is what I believe Dakota said about this. So pretty transparently that. But you know what? It was also a good promo, so it's kind of a double win. You get the little shot, you get the actual juice of the matter, you get the delivery, and it's solid. How could you be mad? Well, maybe Phil Brooks is mad, I don't know.
Yeah, if you're a tribalist, and let's be honest, enjoy the comment section. but yeah, he said it's where the best wrestle. Speaking of which, here comes Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay was in the first match of the night.
Sir, Will Ospreay.
Ospreay, come on. In the words of Adam Copeland, yes. Against Powerhouse Hobbs. It was a battle of wills, of course. It was the story of a big guy versus a really a smaller guy, but he's more technically proficient.
Yeah.
High-flying stuff from Will Ospreay, power stuff from Powerhouse Hobbs. Will Ospreay at one point thought it was a good idea to slap Powerhouse Hobbs. Spoiler alert, it wasn't. Ospreay hit some huge moves. He managed to hit an Oscutter, but Hobbs came back with a huge lariat and an avalanche power slam. But in the end, Ospreay won with a hidden blade, and then Hobbs, as Don Callis was trying to keep the peace within the Don Callis family, Hobbs stormed off afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing continuing to test Will against these members of the Don Callis family. Obviously, that started with Takeshita and their wonderful match. So they're running with that angle. They're also running with the parallel Bryan Danielson thing that we will talk about a little bit more detail when we talk about the next match on this card. It was interesting with the finish. It looks like Will might have accidentally properly smacked Hobbs in the face because he was talking to him on the pin, which is...
He came off the top as well just beforehand and almost landed with his knee in his face too.
Yeah, so you know, when things go awry, you like to see the wrestlers checking on each other and all of that stuff. But yeah, like fun match, really fun match. You knew what you were going to get, right? The really fast guy, super hyper-athletic guy versus the gigantic guy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Sports Entertainment, but that's the wrong channel, isn't it?
Yeah, it felt like the wrong order for me, this. I feel like they should have put, because Danielson immediately came out as Ospreay's walking back up the ramp to obviously do that, and they've got the match at Dynasty. It felt like arguably the Danielson match should have been first, because that was more sort of slowed down, whereas Ospreay is just, you know, mental. 100 miles an hour and awesome. But it was Bryan Danielson versus Lance Archer. This was the story of a big man versus a smaller, more sort of technically proficient man. A sense of deja vu saying that. But Lance Archer ran over Danielson to start off, dominated for large parts of this match. Bryan having to resort to, you know, dragon screws and what have you to try and take the big man down. At one point, Lance Archer, I've just written in my notes, slams some bloke on Brian on the outside. He just picked up some guy and hoied him on Danielson. Danielson did get him in a lapel lock, and Archer had to get to the ropes. Archer came back with a huge sort of choke slam, choke bomb almost on Danielson. But in the end, the kicks and the Busaiku knee did it for Danielson. He gets the win. Obviously, these two are headed for Dynasty, Danielson and Ospreay.
Yeah, what they're doing here is a more elegant version of the old beat the clock challenge from WWE, yes, where it was like, hey, how quickly can you bury someone? I can do it quicker. Here, they're trying to show the parallels. So they've already done both of these guys versus Shibata. Who was more convincing? Who had the better match? Up to you. That's part of the story. Now they did, let's have these guys fight giants. Who was better? Who was more convincing? Who had the better match? It's up to you. That's what they're trying to do. It's a pissing contest. It's a willy measuring contest.
Exactly.
For lack of a better word.
Who's the best in the world? That's what we're going to find out at Dynasty, and they're sort of exactly preceding it with. Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world in terms of the way they've booked this.
One thing, I wish Lance, not saying he should have beat Danielson here, because he shouldn't have. I wish Lance Archer won more matches and was presented as more of a threat, because he's awesome, and I would like that.
Yeah, I agree completely. Time for Chris Jericho. He comes out. He's going to call out Hook, which, I don't know, call out, as Sid was saying to me, usually implies let's have a bare-knuckle fight then. But obviously he's mentoring Hook now. He says, look, I know what people say and assume about me. I always end up fighting my partners. It always ends in tears, basically. But he says to Hook, he brings him out as well with the symbol and what have you. The rules are different at the top. That's what he's trying to teach Hook. Hook should believe in Jericho as much as Jericho believes in him. And Hook says, I do believe. And that's why I've got a match for us on AEW Collision. But I'm going to keep an eye on you, Chris. They're going to face Shane Taylor Promotions on Collision. They'll win that match, obviously. Yep. This was kind of something nothing for me.
Yeah, it's a continuation of the current trend of Chris Jericho. Noticing that someone's getting very hot. Younger wrestler, usually. Latching himself onto them a little bit. Under the guise of benefiting. Benefiting them, lifting them up.
Cassidy.
Whatever, whatever. And it kind of only really undermining the young, cool guy who now has to hang around with this weird man who is bad increasingly. Look, I'm not a Chris Jericho hater or whatever. Like, I do think he has genuinely elevated people in this company, but I think most of them were a good few years ago. I think that most people see through this kind of content from him now, and I wish it didn't happen.
Yeah, I think it's go away, make me miss you.
Yeah.
And he's just not doing that.
It would take a lot for me to miss him at the moment, I'm afraid.
Oh, boy.
You see his wife's Twitter page?
Oh, try not
Speaking
to.
Speaking of old boy.
Well, I was actually old boying about what came next.
Okay.
It was a story of a big man versus a slightly smaller technical. No. Well, it was. But it was also really bad. It was Jay White versus Daddy Ass. So Daddy Ass, obviously, for what Jay White has done to him and the Acclaimed and Darby Allin and what have you, jumps Jay White as part of his entrance, and he beats him around ringside and through the crowd. And I said to you, this feels like they've been told they're in picture for the entirety of this match so far. And it's like 5 minutes, and it was just really slow, just like, oh, I'm throwing to the barricade. I'm gonna punch you around the crowd for a bit or whatever. Anyway. Jay White made a comeback for 2 seconds, and then Daddy Ass continues to beat the crap out of him. Blade Runner got countered. He got hit with 2 fame asses. The Acclaimed had been beaten up backstage during all this as well. And Daddy Ass then goes out to get a chair. The guns slide in and say, oh, Dad, don't do it. And then Jay White just hit a low blow for the DQ.
Yeah.
The Acclaimed made the save. The guns stopped Jay from getting slammed through the announce table. This was atrocious. Wasn't good, was it?
No.
It
was abysmal. Like, what? I don't. There's a lot wrong with this, and it would take a while to break it all down. But I, in my own notes for this, I wrote, Daddy Ass beat Jay White up outside. Daddy Ass beat Jay White up outside again. Daddy Ass put him into a bin. Daddy Ass beat Jay up outside. Daddy Ass threw him into stairs. Jay did one move, DQ. Like, it's just the construction of this whole thing. Billy Gunn, God bless him. If I look like 5% as good as he does.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
His age, look, I'm 36 and I look like a bin bag full of puke. I'm not, you know, credit where it's due in certain aspects of his performance. I don't understand why he's a featured act in 2024. Mm. I don't understand Max Caster's vibe at the moment. He's being strange. Not into it at all. I'm trying really hard not to bury it, but it really was a piece of crap. Sorry, it's rubbish.
Let's cheer ourselves up with someone we all love, and that's Willow Nightingale. She came out next on the stage. She said she was feeling mother fluffing great, and that's not me editing it. That is verbatim what she said, and she loves Worcester Mass, and they love her, quite rightly. Mm-hmm. She spent a lot of time there, and she loves the support that she gets from them. She believes in herself as a result of the support she's gotten from them over the years. And she promises she will be the smiling face of TBS after she takes on Julia Hart for the TBS title at Dynasty. And as they're seemingly wrapping this up and Stokely's putting Willow and Kristallander over, they are interrupted by one Mercedes Moné, who comes out and basically says she wants next. She wants whoever the TBS champion is at Double or Nothing. She kind of stole the spotlight here from Willow Nightingale, but we sense that's the direction they're going in with Mercedes.
That's the purpose, isn't it? Yeah. Like, they wanted to do a bit of an overshadowing because she's going to face her, presumably, after, if Willow beats Julia, which she probably will. My favorite part of this segment was, aside from Willow's just earnest, likable, fun personality, Mercedes' pronunciation of Julia. I think she added about 6 extra syllables.
It was Julia.
It was really cool. Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite clear at this stage, and this is an assumption, it's not me saying this is a fact, I don't think Mercedes is clear to compete at the moment, so they kind of have to have her farting around in these segments. They are running out of a little bit of steam, but at the same time, how can you not love Willow Nightingale?
Exactly.
Stokely was good in this segment as well.
Yeah, Stokely's great.
And I liked Chris Statlander dressed in what looked like she was going for a dive afterwards.
Hey, go for
shout
a
out.
Chasing a megalodon, wait a second. I watched the Meg on the flyover. Sorry, it's awesome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Then we got a match with big ramifications, not only in terms of the tag team title tournament, because the winner of this match would go on to the, to the final to face the winner of FTR on Top Flight, but also, oh, this post-match. So it was the Young Bucks versus Best Friends. The Young Bucks take over early on. They throw both members of Orange Cassidy and Trent into the apron several times, and then Matthew Jackson does Excalibur's job for him and throws to the break. Oh, there was also a nod to them saying, Matthew Jackson, I think it was, said, scapegoat, I'm loving your work, as part of their entrance. Yeah. And Jack Perry stuff. Anyway, Orange Cassidy gets the hot tag when we come back from break. It crossbodies off the top. They miss the EVP trigger because they're doing their lazy kicks and winding them up and what have you. Cassidy makes a comeback, tornado DDT. Matthew Jackson's not having any of that. Super kicks to everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean Orange Cassidy, I mean Trent Barretta, I mean Chuck Taylor, and then I almost include Sue in that. Matthew Jackson stopped himself at the very last second, then ate an orange punch for his troubles. Nick made the save after a spike scrunchie.
You forgot the worst strongest slap in the business, brother.
Sorry, yeah.
It's like watching Shibata. Anyway.
Nick made a save after a spike scrunchie. Trent got sent into an exposed turnbuckle that they exposed, I think, just as we were coming back from the break. And they grab the tights as well for Trent. The Young Bucks get the win. Let's talk match, and then we'll talk post-match afterwards.
Yeah, solid enough. I thought that it really heated up towards the end. Like, early on, it looked like it was going to be, like, another one of these character-based methodically Young Bucks matches. Like, the crowd were really fired up for those near falls, particularly after the Sue teasers, which I thought were really well done.
The super kick part, we suddenly realised, one, two, he's not going to do three.
Should have done that. Should have done it, man. Sue can take a bump, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun match. Despondency, obviously, from the losers, which led to...
Yes. So, yeah, as I mentioned, Trent got sent to the exposed turnbuckle. They grabbed the tights. They got the 1-2-3. That means that best friends are out of the tag team title tournament. And afterwards, you've got to give the people what they want, which Trent Barretta interpreted as a flying knee to Orange Cassidy. Sue can't believe what she's seen as he storms up the ramp. Long time coming, this. Highly anticipated. I'm glad it's finally happened. The perfect scenario for it to happen. They've lost this. Sue's there as well. Sidge was loving that.
Yeah.
And we don't really know. You know, Chuck Taylor looked shocked, but potentially could align with Trent.
He should turn heel as well. Chuck is like a really awesome heel, and they've not done anything with that in AEW. He's a guy who attracts masses of extremely unfair criticism, all because a certain wrestling podcaster doesn't enjoy his work.
Yeah, and Michael Hamblin's not even here, so.
Hey, I love Chuck Taylor. I'm a Chuck Taylor stan, but this is about Trent. Angle was really good.
Yeah.
Extremely well done.
You could see it was coming, but that's fine sometimes.
Having Sue in front of it as well, because she's like this bastion of purity, having her there reacting to her beloved son is like, it's just a really, to borrow a word from our great friend, deft touch. I would love to see Evil Sue, I'm not going to lie. The super villain throw me out the window immediately. But yeah, no.
We've not slept in about 30 hours?
Yeah, I'm a bin right now. But yeah, the angle was well done.
Yeah, really good stuff. And Young Bucks obviously advanced to the finals of that tag team tournament. Then we got our, only women's match on this show. Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May with Timeless Toni Storm on commentary. Initially, Thunder was chucking Mariah around whilst Toni was commentating. Mariah May got some good offense in here. Hip attack and a drop kick got her a two count. Rosa counted a powerbomb to take back over. And Toni Storm said, I wrote this down, piss off, you twerp.
She had a great night on commentary. She's got the voice down.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. There was two big suplexes exchanged when we came back from the break. Mariah May got a two count off a big knee. But in the end, Thunder Rosa hit the backstab and the Tijuana bomb. 1-2-3. She wanted to fight for the title there.
Yeah.
She's not. She's going to fight for the title at Dynasty.
Toni looked protrude afterwards as well. The face was just like, I can't even do it. It was really good work. Toni had a really good night. Interesting match in terms of the execution. A little bit off at times. It's not unfair to say that. A few moments where it looked like maybe they weren't quite on the same page. Hey, look, sometimes that happens.
Laying it in there, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Ooh. They were like, I mean, neither of Mariah May nor Thunder Rosa has ever been shy of just whacking people. No. So, you know, fun and effective for what it was. Really elevated by Toni Storm. I am really looking forward to her and Thunder Rosa. It'll be a great match.
Main event time, and it's the contract signing for AEW Dynasty's a world title match between Samoa Joe and Swerve. We're sort of running late on time here, and we thought, I'm probably not going to do a lot here.
Yeah, 6 minutes were on the clock when Swerve came out.
Yeah, they went overtime, of course. But I think we thought, well, you're going to get your usual back and forth. Oh, I'll see you at the league fight. And then we got, well, a line that will live in infamy from Samoa Joe. Basically, Joe's sitting back. He signs the contract and he says, look, shut up, Schiavone. Swerve's received bad information. Basically, he effectively said, you know, you've got all this. You've had this, you know, amazing fairy tale story to the title. It's not going to be a fairy tale. I'm going to beat you so bad, you'll be mentally scarred like you left Diddy's party too late. So that's a sentence that was just said on television.
Yep. It's like the time Prince Andrew got a shout out from Max Caster.
Swerve came back saying he's dreamt about this moment all of his life. They're building a dynasty in AEW. He says, you're the definition of a killer, Joe, but so am I. And at Dynasty, I'm going to show you that I'm every bit of that man. Whose house?
Swerve's.
Thank you. Run the fade on that bitch. They brawl. Swerve tried to choke Joe out with his chain. Joe just headbutted him. Then he beat him up. He got the chain. He wrapped it around his hand. He bloodied up Swerve in the country. Kept on punching him. And he smiled and walked off. And he thought, well, Swerve's probably not even going to make it to AEW Dynasty. But as he was walking up the ramp, Swerve laughed into the microphone, blood dripping from his head, saying, I love this. Shh. That's all you got? Then I'm taking the championship from you. And then he rubbed the pen on his head and signed the contract in his own blood. Then he smeared his own blood on it, so you won't be able to see that anyway, but it doesn't matter. Joe came back and slammed him through the table. He stood tall to close out the show.
Really good heat angle. I mean, the P. Diddy line's just... it's right on the line, isn't
yes.
it? Which makes it funny. And also a bit at the same time.
He got that ooh yeah,
that's the exact reaction he's going yeah. for, isn't it? Good promos from both guys. I think that the instigating stuff from Swerve to get under Joe's skin was really effective, especially after the P. Diddy line. And then the violence was just extremely compelling and like it worked really well. Like Joe looked like an absolute monster, like busting out of the chain with a headbutt, wrapping it around his fist and just bludgeoning this guy. And then, you know, Swerve has his kind of superhero moment. I love this.
Yeah.
I thought it worked really well. I'm really interested to see, because Dynasty, well, however you say that
yes.
word, is like 3 weeks away or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how they're going to match that level of heat. Building up to the match, or if they're even going to try, because like
this did feel like a go-home angle.
It did, and that's not necessarily a criticism. That's just I'm curious to see what they do with it. But yeah, I was worried when we got to this segment and was only 6 minutes left. But hey, the overrun.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm really intrigued to know what other people think. We might be able to hear Simon Miller's recording his ups and downs in his bedroom, perhaps right now. That'll be out on the channel in. I was going to say later on today, but I have no idea what day it is, if I'm honest.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
In a few hours, I suppose.
10 hours?
Something like that. But do let us know your thoughts on this show in the comments section below, because I sense this might be a rather divisive show, because we're watching it going, is this good? Is this... Are we hyper-analyzing this because we're watching it live? Are we just a bit grumpy because we're tired? I don't know. Let us know in the comments section below. Continue the conversation with us on X at WhatCultureWWE. Like, share, subscribe, and while you're at it,
check out this video here, which is 40 fascinating facts about WrestleMania. That's happening this week. I bet you didn't know that.
Yeah, loads of stuff
also,
coming your way.
Also, what's your favorite fish? Tell us. See you later.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.